Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
If you are a servant of God, let me say it another way. If you take the word of God seriously, you are going to understand your call on this planet. And what is that? To be a blessing to others. And therefore, we are going to want to be a godly influence in other people's life. If they are hurting, we want to help. If they are depressed, we want to be an encouragement, using God's word, His truth, in order to minister to them. You know what a true believer never does? Tears someone down in order to discredit or shame someone publicly. But we're going to see in this study that there was a group of leaders, Pharisees, and they came before the Son of God, not in order to learn, be taught, in order to have a godly influence in their life, but they came with a very different purpose. So before we look at the scripture, ask yourself, when I see others, what are my thoughts concerning them? Am I thanking? Am I praying how I can be a godly influence in their life? That is what a true disciple of Messiah Yeshua is thinking. The book of Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to begin in verse 15. Now, we have seen many times that Yeshua has had conflict primarily with one group of people, a religious group known as the Pharisees. And one of the problems with the Pharisees, and there were several, but one of the problems was this. Instead of submitting to the commandments of God, they wrote their own laws, their own commandments, on how they thought one should live out their life. And oftentimes they utilized scripture, but they twisted scripture. They did not take the simple meaning, but they used the scripture in a way, bending it in order that their objectives could be met, their desires could be fulfilled. And this is exactly how they're responding to the living word of God, Messiah Yeshua. So Matthew 22, verse 15, we read, "Then the Pharisees went, and they took counsel concerning him on how they might entangle him in word." Now, what does that mean? They were going to ask a question in order to discredit him for the purpose of others not listening to him, not following him. And who is he? He is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah. He came to give life and give it abundantly. He came to have a godly influence for eternity on people. And what are they wanting to do? Shame him publicly. Why? Because he did not act, behave, and teach according to what they wanted to hear. And unless we are forming our opinions based upon scripture, there is always going to be a disagreement between what we want and what the will of God is. It's only when we submit to his word, then we are going to be individuals that want to obey God and want his things, his purposes, his will. So they came in order to entrap him in word, we might say in speech. Verse 16. And they sent to him their disciples, probably their very best disciples, with the Herodians. Now, who were the Herodians? Well, the name should tell you a lot. These were individuals who were exceedingly loyal to Herod and therefore also the Roman Empire. These were the ones who assisted Rome under the leadership of Herod for the purpose of oppressing the Jewish people. And we find that the Pharisees, for their purposes, they made an agreement with them. Now, I know many times people will say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But the scripture says something very different. The scripture says, what fellowship can light have with darkness, with evil and good? None. We don't need the assistance of those that are evil, those who are believing things against the truth of God. Therefore, we see the Pharisees were not individuals of integrity. They were working with the Herodians and their disciples and the Herodians. Notice, they were saying, teacher, and pay close attention to what they were saying to Yeshua. Words of flattery. Let me give you a piece of advice. When someone flatters you, beware. Because oftentimes their words of flattery is for the purpose of manipulation, in order to get you to do something that they want, or to set you up for something that they want to accomplish against you. And they said something, and even though what they said were true, they didn't really believe it, or they wouldn't be behaving in this way. What were they saying? Teacher, we know that truth you are. What does that mean? That Messiah was functioning in the truth of God. They confessed that. We know that in truth you are walking in truth, teaching in truth, behaving in the truth of God. And in addition to that, also the way of God. What an important statement. Also, the way of God in truth you teach. And in addition to that, also, you do not care concerning no one. Meaning this, Messiah doesn't have favorites. He is not someone that will change the judgment because, oh, this one I like, this one's my friend. Or, as in the case with the Pharisees and the Herodians, we'll change our decision because this one can help us. If I am favorable to him now in this matter, then I can get a favor from him later on. See, they weren't concerned about the truth, but they knew that he was. Ask yourself, are you concerned about the truth of God? When it comes to making a decision, do you make it based upon what is right, what is just, what is ethical, what is proper, or do you show favoritism for something later on that can be according to your plans and your desires, getting that person, manipulating them for what you want? Verse 17. Therefore, say to us. Now again, it's the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians, these two who usually were opponents, coming together for a common purpose, to discredit Yeshua. They were speaking and they said, therefore say to us how it is that you think. Now, this is leading into a specific matter. What they're doing, remember the flattery, now they're going to use that in their minds for their purposes. Remember, they say, we know that you don't pay attention to anyone's face, meaning their persona, their position, their wealth, or the lack of it. You base everything on truth, and you don't care about anyone else, meaning he was not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. Now, they say all this because, notice their question. They say, tell us how you think, how you think it seems. And here's their question. Is it lawful to give tribute, that is to pay tax, to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, one of the things that the Roman Empire, that distinguished them from other empires. See, the Greeks, they wanted people to conform, to be like them in culture, in religion, in speech, in everything. The Romans, very, very different. As long as you paid your taxes and you did not rebel against them, you could believe what you wanted, speak the language that you wanted, and to embrace the culture that was right in your eyes, how you wanted to live. And so, notice what they were saying. They were getting to the heart of what the Roman Empire wanted. Everyone to pay taxes. And anyone that would teach, you don't have to. Therefore, they would be an enemy of Rome. But if Yeshua said, pay taxes to Rome, then many within the Jewish community, they would see him as the Herodians and others, and they would want to follow him, walk with him, listen to him. And therefore, they asked this question. Is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? Verse 18. But Yeshua, knowing, and this is so important, what does he know? He knows everything. He knew their motivation. He knew their flattery was for the purpose of manipulation. We read verse 18. Yeshua, knowing their evilness. Now, why would we use that word evil? Because what they're about is in conflict with the will of God. Learn this important biblical principle. Anytime you choose something against the will of God, you are choosing evil. And when you have chosen evil, you are going to be doing evil, and you are going to receive the consequence from God's standpoint, his judgment, for that which he deems against him, against his will. That's what evil is, against the will of God. So Yeshua, knowing their evilness, he says this, why me do you test? Why me? Now, when he says that, he's implying, not why is this happening to me and lamenting it and complaining and such. This is not his purpose. When he says, why me? He's saying, well, if you believe that I'm a teacher of truth, that I'm one that is sent by God, how could you not think that I would understand what you're doing? That you're trying to, and this word here means to test someone in order to expose, in order to shame or discredit. And that's why he says to them, look at the next word, hypocrites. This implies something very important, and that's this. They knew the truth, but they would not do it. And that is the classical biblical definition of a hypocrite. You know what is right, but you do not do it. You may tell others to do it, but you yourself won't move a little finger to do that which is right. They were men of deceit and of falsehood. And that's why they're serving not God, but they're serving Satan. Because he is the author of deceit. He is the father of lies. So what happens? Verse 19. He says, show me the coin of tribute, meaning show me the coin that you pay tribute, these taxes with. And these ones, they brought to him this Roman coin called a denarius. And this was worth one day's wage. And he says to them, "Whose image is this?" And the inscription, verse 21. They were saying to him, "Caesar." Therefore, he says to them, "Give the things of Caesar to Caesar, and the things of God to God." What wisdom. How he took a situation of entrapment, whereby whatever he said, they thought they had him, because whatever answer he said, pay tribute to Caesar, make him unpopular among the Jewish people. Don't pay tribute to Caesar, may be popular among the citizens of Israel, but he would be an enemy of the Roman Empire, and they would come and want to arrest him and such. And therefore, he answered in a way that showed his wisdom, his insight over the Pharisees. And that's why it says, look at the last part of this first section. And after hearing, everyone there was amazed. And leaving him, they departed. They had nothing more that they could say. No other way in their mind to try to entrap him. Verse 23. On that same day. Now, they showed a persistence. They were committed in their desire to shame him. And therefore, some others came. Also members of the Sanhedrin, known as the Sadducees. So the Sadducees, they came to him, and they were saying, and by the way, the Sadducees, as it writes here, they were the ones saying there is no resurrection. This is very important. They denied the resurrection. And in denying the resurrection, you know what else they didn't believe in? They didn't believe in the kingdom of God. These two things are inherently related: resurrection and the kingdom. And they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a certain one," this is a male, "should die not having children, his brother is to marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother." Now, Moses did say that. Where did he say that? In the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 25. We're talking about what's called in Hebrew mitzvot yibum. And this is when a brother or a family member or a relative does just that. They marry the woman that her husband has died for the purpose of raising up an offspring, a child, in order that that name is not blotted out, but it continues. And it shows the importance of the future, being future-minded, and that's kingdom-minded. Verse 25. And there were among them, they want to give an example, there were among them seven brothers. So this one who died, he had six brothers, seven altogether. The first one, as we said, married and died. And not having any offspring, we find that this one would leave his wife to his brother in order that he would fulfill that mitzvot yibum, this special type of marriage for the purpose of raising up an heir. But notice what happens. Now, this is an example. And once again, what are the Sadducees doing? These Sadducees, who didn't like the Pharisees, they were in disagreement about a kingdom reality, about resurrection, about miracles, about angels. about many things that related to the truth of God. But once again, they came together for the purpose of discrediting Yeshua, saying that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, one should not believe in him. Isn't it interesting how much the world, all aspects of the world, are opposed to him, the true and only begotten Son of God, the only Savior, the only Redeemer? Without calling upon his name, you cannot be saved. So they say in this example, this one dies, and therefore, likewise, look now at verse 26, also the second, also the third, until the seventh. All seven of them died, and each of them married her for the purpose of raising up an heir, that that name would not be blocked out. And what happened? They all died before it took place. Therefore, verse 27. At the end, all died, and also the woman. Verse 28. Therefore, in the resurrection. Now, they're mocking this whole concept of the resurrection. Therefore, in the resurrection, which of the seven will the woman be to? Meaning, if they all had her, and that's what they say right here, for all had her, so who will she belong to if there's really a resurrection? And notice Messiah, once again, his wisdom, and how he turns to the word of God in order to respond. Verse 29. But Yeshua, having answered and said to them, you err. Why? Not knowing the scriptures. And here's another very important principle. You will err always if you do not know the scriptures. We see over and over that Messiah, in responding, he always turned to the word of God. He always turned to scripture, meaning the Old Testament. The more you know the Old Testament, the better you are in discerning the teachings of Messiah. It is a foolish individual that wants to unhitch the New Testament from the Old Testament. That is against the methodology of Yeshua and also the Apostle Paul and all the writers of the New Testament. So Yeshua answered, he said to them, you err. You do not know the scriptures, and notice something else, nor the power of God. And that's so true. When a person does not know the word of God, he will not have access to the power of God, the provision of God. So he says, you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Verse 30. For in the resurrection, meaning in the kingdom, they will not marry and be given and married, but as the angels of God in heaven, they are. Now, the angels, they didn't have spouses. They were all concerned about serving God and worshiping God, praising him, glorifying him. That's what the resurrection is about. It's all about us being in the presence of God, experiencing him, and recognizing that he is Lord. So we're going to be like the angels in heaven in the sense not having these same type of relationships. Verse 31. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, you do not know, and he's chasing them again, you do not know the word unto you by God. Now, I would highlight that, and that's exactly what I did. Twice he says, you know what your problem is? You are thinking incorrectly. You don't understand the things of God. Why? Because you do not know the word of God, which was given to you, spoken to you by God himself, saying, verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So important. Now, whenever the patriarchs are mentioned, you know what should come into your mind? The promises of God. Every time Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are mentioned, these are men of faith, and their faith led them, here's the key, to pursue the promises of God. So ask yourself this question. Do you have faith? If you do, you are going to be pursuing the things of God, wanting His promises and not some temporary material prosperity in this world. So he says, you don't know the word of God unto you, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God, and this is the God, the definite article, that word there, that word the, appears in the Greek text. The God is not the God of the dead, but the living. And that's why we see when Messiah descended into Sheol, he didn't see sleeping people, but they were alive. They were having an experience. Those that were in Gehinnom, Hades, hell, they were suffering, but they weren't sleeping. And those who were in Abraham's bosom, they weren't asleep, they were awake. They were alive. And Messiah went, as the scripture says, and he spoke unto them. So Messiah, he speaks here that our God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Last verse, verse 33. And the crowds, all the different crowds, upon hearing what he said, they were astonished at his teaching. And let me close with this, that when you truly are a student of the Word of God, when you understand what is said in the Old Testament, and how that sheds a light, a proper light of illumination to understand the words of Messiah, you are going to be astonished at not just the wisdom of this book, but here's what I want you to hear. You are going to be astonished of how God moves mightily when you apply this book unto your life. Life gets full and exciting.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.